Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to shift gears today and talk about being smart, smart with your money. Now, we talk about that all the time, don't we? Well, we're going to take a little different angle with it. And I'm excited. Kimberly Palmer is our guest today, author, journalist, and professor. And her website is kimberly-palmer.com. And she's written the book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family. What a wonderful idea. And I'm really excited to have her on the program. Besides writing and speaking and teaching about smart money and life choices, she's also been the senior money editor at U.S. News and World Report for 9 years and recently has joined AARP as an editor and, of course, working on a lot of the same subjects that we're going to be talking about on today's program. So the book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family. Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. And listen, a lot of people out there, of course, when I say people, women who listen to this program are going to be, I think, very interested in understanding more about how they can, you know, work on and maybe take a new view or a new approach to this quote-unquote balancing, you know, life that always seems to be kind of the cliche or the way it's labeled of how women are supposed to balance this and that. You don't ever hear guys being referred to as guys need to balance these things, right?
I know. It's so funny. I was actually just sharing with someone that even during some of my job interviews, I've been asked, who takes care of your kids, you know, while you're working? How can you work? And just, it's so funny that women get asked that so much. I mean, it is an interesting topic, but we certainly get asked about it more than our husbands, probably.
Yeah, and you don't want to, you know, I mean, somebody who's in that position and hears that question certainly doesn't want to kill the job opportunity,
right.
But you almost want to go back to the person and say, well, do you ask all the male candidates the same question?
Right, but if you want to get the job, you might not want to be too confrontational. So, yeah, actually, I usually am just happy to answer it, and I just think it's noteworthy that we get asked it so much. But, you know, I also enjoy hearing from other moms how they balance everything, too. So it's not necessarily a bad topic, just maybe not one for job interviews.
Very good. Yeah, yeah, I would run the risk of being not just a smart mom. I'd be a smart aleck mom. And I would say, well, yeah, I got that covered. But listen, thanks for asking. And if I ever run into a problem, are you asking me because you offer some sort of, you know, in-company, you know, sitting service?
Or
that's
right.
So kind of you. No, I really resist. That kind of stuff obviously bugs me, you can tell. So let's dig in here, Kimberly. I think that there's a lot we need to talk about. First of all, what... You know, and again, I want to be careful not to generalize or stereotype or any of that. But what in all the work you've done in this area, and I know you were obviously inspired to write the book, and it's a pretty thick one at that, with a lot of great information. What do moms need to know about money? I mean, let's start there. And I know that we could probably spend 4 hours talking about that. But what are some of the big things that women and moms need to know about money?
Well, I think the most important thing is just knowing that it's our job, it's part of our job as moms to embrace this role of managing our family money. I think what disturbed me and what drove me to write the book is that so often the messages that moms get about money are really limited to things like couponing and saving a few dollars at the grocery store. And, you know, all of that is important, and I also enjoy discounts and couponing, but it's such a small part of what it means to really build wealth over time. So I wanted to write this book to really encourage us all to think bigger about how we can invest our money, save for college, save for retirement, take advantage of workplace benefits that offer tax-advantaged accounts, all of these bigger things that really can let us save hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year. So that was really my goal and what I think is important for moms to know about.
Yeah, this is the 21st century, right?
Yes, and I mean, you know, it is, but at the same time, I don't know if you found this too, but I really found that money is the last frontier that can feel so retro and so 1950s.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's, I think, is why I think it's so interesting.
Oh, I think it's all the, you know, it's all the rage right now. I mean, it's like, you know, and we've had guests on the program talking about this, Kimberly. It's something that is still, you know, that we are all, I think, collectively surprised that it is, you know, that this is still you know, an ongoing question or subject or learning curve, or whatever you want to call it. But okay, so it's to embrace the role, I think, obviously is critical. And are there other big ones that you think are really important for moms to know about money? Because I want to get to some of the mistakes, get to those as well.
Well, yeah. So I'll share two things. And these are actually two things that I was doing incorrectly myself. And I quickly changed as I did the research for the book. So one thing is, we as moms should know where our money is, the financial accounts, the passwords, the usernames. So I made this mistake, as a lot of moms actually do, of handing over the money management of investments and long-term accounts to our husbands. And mm-hmm. my husband actually is the one that had it all saved on his computer. It was password protected. I did not even know the password, which is, you know, embarrassing to admit. But I was making this classic mistake. It sounds so 1950s, but yeah. I didn't have access to all of this information. So, you know, if God forbid he was like ill or unable to manage our money all of a sudden, how would I take over? How would I be able to do all of that? So I think it's so important, number one, to have access, ready access to those accounts and be actively managing them with, you know, with your partner, if you have a partner. And then secondly, just really making sure that you're prioritizing retirement savings. A lot of moms make the mistake of we put our kids first, of course, always. And when it comes to money, when you're deciding between saving and investing for college and saving and investing for retirement, it's really important to prioritize your retirement. Once you have that taken care of and that's you're making steady progress on that goal, you want to also open up a college savings account. But, you know, when it comes to saving for retirement, it's so important because, as we all know, you know, there's no loans for retirement. Few of us have pensions, so you really have to save for retirement.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think anybody could argue with any of that, Kimberly. That's all well put and well said. Let's do this. We'll grab a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some of the common money mistakes that moms make and how to avoid those. And Kimberly Palmer is our guest today, author, journalist, professor, smart mom, rich mom, how to build wealth while raising a family. Kimberly Palmer.com. There's a hyphen in there, Kimberly-Palmer.com. Right back after a quick word from our sponsor. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Yes, we're back. Kimberly Palmer on the line with us, author, journalist, and professor. Professor, I left that out, Kimberly. I'm sorry. You're a professor at, where is it, American University?
That's right. Yes, right. I teach a class on social media to older, or I shouldn't say older, like midlife women.
Yeah. Yeah, careful.
I know. And basically, I found that social media actually does play a really big role increasingly in our careers, in our financial lives. Sure. So it's an important aspect of all this.
Well, and you actually are a great example of one of the mistakes that I know that you're going to talk about that women sometimes make, moms, is, you know, relying on a single income. And obviously you're walking the walk here with this and not doing that. You've got different things going on, the book and your work with the AARP, and then, of course, your teaching as well.
Yeah, and so, of course, so many people, so many moms handle this differently. It's so difficult to figure out the right choices between, you know, caregiving, and a lot of us also have older parents we're taking care of, too. So we have a lot of demands in terms of caregiving, but we also often need to earn money as well. And so what I found from my interviews is that even when, if you are scaling back your time in the workplace for a period of time, it can really help to stay engaged, to pick up freelance work, contract work, whatever makes sense for your field, to stay engaged through social media, networking online and in person, because then when you are ready to go back, it's so much easier.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's very helpful. And a couple of the other mistakes I know that you've already mentioned, and I have kind of my little cheat sheet here, is that you talked about, you know, women, mothers spending more time clipping coupons and looking at their long-term investments, and then also putting their own retirements behind maybe the families or the kids with college savings and household expenses. I mean, those are huge. The next one, though, I think is really where women and mothers need to assert themselves and really be aggressive about this area. And that's in the area of making sure that their financial futures are protected and really, you know, be the driving force by having make sure that their husbands have enough insurance. Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one because it's unpleasant to talk about. You know, no one wants to think about the worst case scenario. But it is really important to have life insurance policies for your husband, of course, also for yourself. I mean, whether you're a full-time caregiver or a full-time worker, I mean, if you were suddenly not there, your family would need some financial resources to help with that. So basically, it's so important just being a parent to know that, I mean, kids are counting on us. So taking those steps to, you know, write out your will and have an estate plan, take out life insurance. It gives you the peace of mind knowing that you have that taken care of, even though I know, because I've done this myself, it's unpleasant. It's an unpleasant mm-hmm. hurdle to go through because it feels so depressing to think about. But it's important to protect yourself, to protect your family's financial future.
Amen. Well, I can tell you that my wife has had no problem asking about that. But no, it is very important. And the other, you know, when you already spoke to this, I don't think this can be overemphasized. The other mistake that I know that you mentioned is where the woman has relegated, the finances for the family to their husbands.
Yes. I mean, this is such a huge topic, and it's pretty shocking to me how prevalent this still is. But so often we might be the ones paying the bills, the monthly bills, but, you know, our husbands are often the ones managing the really important accounts like investment accounts, savings accounts, and we really can't hand over those reins because chances are at some point we will have to be the ones managing the money. And Fidelity actually puts that figure at 90% mm-hmm. of us at some point will be solely in charge of our finances. And I mean, it's mostly due to the simple fact that women do tend to outlive men. Of course, there's all kinds of life circumstances like divorce
sure.
being a common one too. But you know, there's a good chance that at some point we will be solely in charge. So we have to be ready to take over those reins. And also, you know, we have a lot of expertise to contribute too. Men do statistically tend to be more aggressive than women when they're making investment choices. So working together with a partner and deciding how you're going to, invest for the long term can actually lead to a better outcome than if just one person is in charge.
Amen. Two things I'll say, Kimberly. One, I think it's a mistake, a strategic mistake, for a woman to let their husband take care of the finances and not be involved. Listen, ladies, okay, go to every meeting with the advisor. Go to every meeting. You don't want to miss any of it. It's not like the meeting is every 5 minutes. They're periodic. Don't let those meetings occur without you. You need to know what's going on. And to your other point, Kimberly, I've heard the statistics, and the one that really strikes me is that 80% of women die a widow and 80% of men die married. I mean, so it's a staggering statistic. So here's my kind of tongue-in-cheek question. Why hand over the reins if you're going to get them back anyway? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how about a ride along? You know, I'll hold the reins. You come along, but I'm going to end up with the reins likely anyway. So why turn it over?
I agree. I totally agree. And I think one way to really help motivate us for this is just to talk to the older women in your lives. I've learned so much from talking to my grandmothers about their experiences, you know, seeing them handle widowhood and just knowing, you know, this is a possibility. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the future? None of us know. But, you know, it's the reality of women's lives. So I totally agree with you.
Excellent. Well, that's what you're supposed to do, Kimberly. Thank you. I'm just kidding. No, it's good stuff. And it's common sense. That's why it's so agreeable. It's like, I mean, it's like, let's get somebody on the line, Kim, that can disagree with us. No, I think women should be, you know, in the dark. No, it's so important. I know that you have a lot of other things that you can share with our listeners, and I want to get to those as well. What about some of the specific ways? Because, you know, it's easy to make a general statement, but I love that you're so specific about some of the techniques, and you get into this in your book that women can take, you know, just going through some of the top, maybe 10 ways. I know you have those, and we'll see how many we can get to. You talk about how women can spend money on actually kind of being navigating or being kind of the chief financial officer of the family to help make choices about how you spend money on household products and services to make things easier.
Yes. And I actually think it's really important to invest in certain services that can help save you and your family time and energy. So I like to think of this as frugal luxury because, you know, we're still being smart with our money. We're not splurging or you know, wasting money. But things that I like, for example, grocery delivery service, it costs, you know, about $5. Well, at least where I live, it costs about $5. And I actually find it easier to get deals and use coupons mm-hmm. because you can do it all online.
Right.
But, you know, it frees up an hour or two for our family on the weekend to do something fun instead. Of course, also, if it fits into your budget, things like right. paying for a cleaning service. I mean, just investing in little things that give your family more time together. So it's, I think of it as a smart way of spending.
Well, you're just allocating resources. You know, I love to tell the story that I had this crazy idea to paint a bathroom one time, and I got it about halfway done, and it didn't look good. I picked the wrong color paint. I had the wrong texture paint. I had not properly prepped the walls, and then I mentioned it was half done, and I gave up. And it sat like that for 6 months. My wife had enough of seeing it that way and said, that's it. And I came home one day, and it was done, and the guy was finishing up, and it took him about 3 hours, and it looked beautiful. And I'm like, thank God. And I'm like, where's my checkbook? Let me pay you. And by the way, we have other projects for you to do.
That's so funny.
I know. I mean, so, you know, and she saved me though, because I would have come back to it and try to, but what a horrible waste of my time. Because it would take me probably, you know, 30 hours to get it done. And it still wouldn't look as good as what this guy did in 3.
Exactly. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you just have to step back and think, oh, okay, maybe this actually is a good use of our resources, because saves you so much time.
I told her, I said, next time, stop me before I start. It's important stuff. If you're just joining us, I'm having a great conversation with Kimberly Palmer on the line, author, journalist, and professor. And the book is Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family, Kimberly-Palmer.com. Great information there. You can download some printables from the book and see the trailer and also read an excerpt if you'd like. We're going to take a quick break, word from our sponsors, and right back with Kimberly. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, reverse mortgage director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
Smart Mom, Rich Mom, that's the book, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family, Kimberly-Palmer.com, the website. And, of course, Kimberly Palmer on the line with us, and we're talking about some of the ways that moms can increase their family's wealth today. Dive right in and start working on these, some of the things we talked about, you know, leveraging your time and placing a value on your time, really, and being smart about it and embracing this role as chief financial officer for the family. And in doing that, Kimberly, are there things that maybe you could recommend that the moms do in that role of chief financial officer?
Yeah. Yeah, well, so I always think the first step is getting really organized with your money, because there's certain things we have to do on a annual or quarterly basis, like reviewing our accounts, checking up on all our insurance policies, and it's so much harder and takes so much more time to do that if you're not ultra organized. So I personally am a fan of the binder approach, so I like having a color-coordinated binder with everything explained and laid out, the latest statements printed for every account that we have, and then it's easier when, you know, once a quarter comes around, I actually write it on my calendar that it's time for my husband and me to sit down and review everything. It's like a like a money date, and it just gives us
a chance. Call the meeting.
Yeah, it's important because sometimes there's changes we have to make or updates, or I have to, you know, rebalance our retirement accounts, and all of that has to happen. And I think it all starts with just, you know, getting all of that organized so you're not sorting through all this paperwork when it's time to do that.
Is there an app for that where, you know, because I'm always trying to organize my wife. You got an app I can give her and get her organized?
There are so many apps, but I'm such a fan of the paper method because I think there's some things you just need to see on paper. And, you know, I don't want all that in my phone, so I'm actually kind of old-fashioned with that.
That's all right. It's okay to be old-fashioned. That's whatever's easiest. You know, technology is wonderful, but you got to be able to make it accessible and easy to work with. And paper, visual, being able to manipulate stuff, move it around, that's good. How about some savings goals? Hey, here's what we need to save. That's what we need to try to do, put away money for a rainy day, or even, you know, working on putting money away for vacation so you're not having to put it all on a credit card.
Yeah, so I really like having accounts for all of this and using automatic transfers. So just to take the example of college savings, because that's so important for so many moms. So you can actually set up an account with, you know, whatever your financial institution is, and whatever your goal is. I base my goal on an analysis of what it will take to pay for college when my kids are ready to go to school, which, you know, it's daunting how expensive it is. So I set aside $500 a month, and it's automatically deducted to put into that college savings account. And then it's a 529 savings account, so there's some tax advantages associated with that. And I'm a big fan of automated savings because, you know, as moms, we're so busy, and it's just easier if you have it set up to automatically transfer. You can, of course, do that with your retirement savings, too. And then you just feel like you're making slow and steady progress toward that goal.
That's excellent. So it's all automatic. It goes into the account. That's all good. I do have to ask, and you know, because you are organized, I want to ask, do you have like a little, hopefully nobody else hears this. You have a sock drawer? Do you have a sock you hide a little money in?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't. I don't take that. And I wouldn't tell you if I did.
Exactly. Good. Good answer. Good answer. All right. Well, my my wife told me when we got married that her grandmother gave her some advice, I guess, that was a running advice for any woman in the family. She said, and she's Italian, she says, don't let the men know your business.
Mm.
So I think she She may have a little something tucked away. No, it's good advice. I mean, I think that you got to have a plan. And then you also talked about continuing to work and, of course, the multiple streams of income if that's possible. And you recommend this even during the child-rearing years, which is kind of, you know, that's kind of a challenge to be able to still work. At least your key thing is to still work some and keep your hand in it and then be able to use that money and maybe put it away as well, or at least have it available?
Yeah, well, so not traditional. I'm not talking necessarily about traditional working. So, you know, some women, of course, like me, go the traditional route and stick with a full-time job mm-hmm. while they're raising young kids. I have a 6 and a 3-year-old right now. But so many moms that I interviewed and featured go a non-traditional route and take a creative approach where even if you're not having a full-time job, you can do all sorts of things to bring in money. Or even if you're not bringing in money, just stay engaged professionally through social media, through networking, through showing that you're still current, so then you can go back into it whenever you are ready. And a lot of this just has to do with thinking long-term, thinking down the road what you might want for the future. A lot of moms think that the entrepreneurial route makes sense for them, and so they launch businesses or, you know, go on Etsy. Some of these online platforms make it really easy to launch something that also enables you to have a flexible schedule. So there's so many options out there. You know, and for all moms, it's different how we decide to approach it. But I think the key is just staying engaged in some capacity. So you're either, you know, if you're not earning money, you're at least staying engaged. So you leave that door open for yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, for the traditional, and what does that word mean anyway? But I mean, you know, but for the traditional, you know, take the 6 weeks off and back to work, you know, we got about a minute left. Final thoughts, I guess, for women who are in that role and who are looking at that and you know, trying to, again, quote unquote, that balancing act. What are some thoughts you have or advice for women in that? Because you've done that.
I have done that. I'm doing it right now. I think the key is negotiating flexibility just as we negotiate our salaries.
Okay.
You, of course, have the most power to do that whenever you change jobs. But when you do receive a job offer and you're in that time when you have that power to ask for things, and after you nail down your higher salary, we should always be asking for that. You also want to ask about flexibility, whether that means leaving at 5 every day, working from home once a week. You know, these kinds of things can make it easier to balance everything and to do it all. And I definitely need all of that to make everything work in my life.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like it's working, and it sounds like you've put it all together for other moms to look at with the book, Smart Mom, Rich Mom, How to Build Wealth While Raising a Family. Do it Kimberly's way. Kimberly Palmer is our guest, author, journalist, professor. The website, kimberly-palmer.com. Kimberly, it's been wonderful to talk with you. And listen, you'll have to keep us apprised of how the book is going and any other projects you get involved with, and come back and talk with us some more.
I will. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Very good to have you. And ladies, again, make it that website, kimberly-palmer.com. Take a look. You can download some stuff right from the website, and we'll check back in with Kimberly later. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.